disaster struck two raft trips this summer on the Alsek River, which flows from the Yukon to Alaska. A skilled rafter from Idaho and his son died after getting thrown from their raft in June. A few days earlier, a calving glacier sent a wall of water through another group's campsite. Possessions and boats were scattered, but no one was hurt. About 80 groups float through the remote wilderness along the Alsek each summer, and disasters are extremely rare. But as KTOO's John Ryan reports, the risk is always there.
The sun shines on a small clearing in the aspens and spruce along the Tatshenshini River, near the southwest corner of the Yukon Territory. Outfitters Kate and Stan Bohr of Haines are helping our small group get two inflatable rafts ready for 10 days of no turning back travel. From here, the Tatshenshini flows into the Alsek River. The Alsek punches through the world's tallest coastal mountains to enter the Gulf of Alaska. Mostly, the Bohrs are teaching us the meticulous art of securing hundreds of pounds of food and gear onto the rafts.
Especially for the canyon, we want to strap these into place for these boxes to keep them from moving around. And again, we're going to have bags on top of this, too. You can use a blue one there and just feed it.
On each raft, we build a waterproof jigsaw puzzle of dry bags, ammunition cans, coolers, and buckets. Then comes Stan's safety talk on the 140 miles of what he calls extreme wilderness that we're about to travel. Hypothermia, icebergs, capsizes, grizzlies. Until this point, the scariest moment of the trip was wondering whether customs officials would let us enter Canada with a keg of beer from Haines.
And maybe the only other thing is the fluctuating river. It has a tendency to go way up and way down in a short amount of time at any time of day. So make sure you have your boats well tied up.
The midday sky turns dark and fat raindrops start to pelt us. The river is about a foot below flood stage. That's when it becomes an extremely difficult Class 5 rapid. Bohr says he's rafted this river 60 times over the past 30 years, but rarely when the river is this high.
So it is a little deceptive. It is high. It's going to be a flush through there. It's going to be happening really fast.
Bohr warns us that we'll enter a canyon and the worst rapids of the 10-day trip just about a half hour after we start.
Your biggest nemesis are canyon walls, and you'll see as soon as you enter it, it's really sharp rocks. You just really can't hit the walls or you risk putting a hole in your boat. And that changes the whole complexion of the day.
Except when it's flooding, the Tat is not an especially fierce river. It's fabled among river rafters because of its scenery and wildness, not the whitewater thrills. Our party of four Juneau residents and one friend from Seattle sets off. Two of us have rafted the Tat before. Four of us are wearing dry suits, and we've all got life vests on. The river decides not to rise anymore that day, and we manage to make our way through the rapids unscathed. We only bounce Stan's expensive Hypalon raft once off the sharp canyon walls. After the canyon, the Tat flows fast, 10 or 15 miles an hour, but mostly smooth and green. We're able to enjoy the sights and sounds of leaving civilization behind. But there's a hazard downstream hanging over our heads. It's early enough in the summer that the river might still be blocked off by icebergs where it enters Alsek Lake near the end of the trip. Before seeing us off, Stan Bohr had told us it's one of the bigger hazards of the trip.
It happens all the time. People misjudge the lake and where the icebergs are, and they go rowing out amongst the icebergs and occasionally get pinched between them.
We might have to portage the 1,000-pound rafts, possibly over jagged breakup ice, if the lake isn't passable. But we have a week of easy rafting, oversized scenery, and spruce tip ale to enjoy before we have to cross that bridge. And there's a little history to make. At our campsite on Melt Creek, I open up the biggest dry bag I could find on the internet. I pull out a tiny battery-powered amplifier and my Fender Stratocaster guitar. I welcome evidence to prove me wrong, but for now, I'll claim the first electric guitar descent of the Tatshenshini River. Near the Yukon-BC border, I'm John Ryan.